Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Remember to follow me on the go and download your favorite scary story on my Apple Podcast and Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. Now, we have reached part two and the final part of this small series of I Used to Be a Park Ranger. Enjoy. When I woke up, everything was still dark. I wondered if I was even still alive. All I knew was that it was dark and I couldn't move. Then I heard a groan from nearby. Ah, shit. I heard Lita's voice say softly before I heard a slight rustling like someone was struggling. Lita? I croaked out in question and I heard her gasp from nearby. Thank frickin' goodness you're still alive, she breathed. Then she let out a more frustrated sound. But that means you got caught. Look, I have a plan to get us out of here, but you need to do exactly what I say if you want to survive this, she said in a hushed tone. What about Hank? I whispered back, and Lita was quiet for a moment before she spoke up again. Hank's beyond saving now. You don't want to know, trust me, she said with a pained whisper. Now stop talking. You don't want them knowing you're awake. And whatever you do, don't let them feed you anything, she said with a renewally steeled tone. I did as I was told and shut up after that. I don't know how long we stayed in that darkness. I could feel myself suspended in the air and completely unable to move. It felt like I was wrapped up in some kind of cocoon made of a sticky substance, similar to that of a spider web. It was exactly the same conditions that Abigail had described in her story. The only sounds I heard all the time were the occasional shuffling, which I assumed to be Lita, and the distant sound of footsteps and soft growls. After what could have been hours, or even days, of just staying silent in that oppressive darkness, I heard a ripping noise, and then a loud thunk and a grunt. I wanted to speak, but remembered Lita's words and forced myself to remain quiet. I just waited and hoped that that was the sound of Lita escaping. I heard footsteps approaching me and held my breath while attempting to press myself back against the stone wall behind me on a deep-rooted instinct to cringe away from the unknown thing that approached. Then I heard a ripping noise shortly before my bindings gave away, and I went crashing to the rock floor below. While I laid there with the wind knocked out of me, Lita ripped the sticky binds away from me, and I quickly scrambled to my feet. You're going to have to trust me. Stay close to me, and I'll get you out of here, Lita whispered in my ear. I nodded before realizing she couldn't see me in the pitch-black darkness, and instead whispered back, Okay. It was all I could say at the moment. I heard a strange crunching noise, and then Lita grabbed my hand and started to swiftly lead me along, as if she was able to see where she was going. I noticed that her nails felt sharper than before as she held tight to my hand. I felt fear bubble up as I wondered if she was becoming something like what Abigail had turned into, but I forced myself to bury that fear. Right then, Lita was my only chance of making it out of that place. I had to trust her. I didn't have any other option. We moved through the darkness for what seemed like forever. We seemed to be moving through some sort of massive tunnel or cave network, like the one from Abigail's story. We could mostly move with hurried steps, but on various occasions, Lita would stop me and pull me into one of the crevices or side tunnels when the sounds of footsteps neared us. Then after the footsteps faded, we would continue on our way again. I began to wonder if we would just be wandering this cave network until we finally just collapsed. I could already feel the hunger, dehydration, and exhaustion gnawing at me. But I kept pace with Lita, forcing myself to keep walking, even when it felt like my legs were turning to stone. Then, I finally saw a beautiful sight. There was light streaming in the stony area about 15 feet ahead of us after we had turned a corner. As we drew closer to the light, I could see that it was the moonlight streaming into a large hole of some sort that looked to have been dug by massive claws. The hole was roughly about 5 feet above us and led into some kind of tunnel to the surface. I felt my heart sink as I realized there was no way we could reach the hole to escape through it. We would have to continue on back into the darkness. "I'll boost you up to the edge of the hole. Do you think you could pull yourself out?" Lita spoke up as I let myself fall into a crestfallen state. I looked at Lita's petite 5-foot form in bewilderment. I felt my eyes widen as I was finally able to take in her appearance. Lita's form had changed. She had grown more muscles, and she looked practically feral. Her short black hair was wild and she was covered in dirt, but she looked uninjured despite her dirty appearance and very torn, blood-stained clothing. Her nails had turned to claws, and when she spoke, I could see her teeth had changed to sharpened points. When I finally met her eyes, they were no longer that piercing hazel green they had been. Now her pupils had changed to slits, and her eyes were a glowing gold shade. I instinctively took a few steps back from her as I took in her inhuman features, and she firmly grabbed my wrist. "Now isn't the time. I told you. If you want to make it out of this, you're going to have to trust me," she said firmly. I slowly nodded, and she released me in return. Then she laced her fingers together and placed her palms upward to allow me to step on them so she could lift me up into the hole. I complied, and she lifted me with a surprising ease. I dug my fingers into the dirt and scrambled my way up through the hole to the outside of the forest above. I collapsed onto the ground on my way, taking in deep lungfuls of air for a moment to let out a short laugh of relief to be away from the horrid darkness. Then I remembered Lita. I looked down through the hole that appeared to be an animal burrow hidden beneath a large thick bush from the outside. Lita looked up at me with glowing golden orbs before she jumped upwards and dug her clawed hands into the dirt. I grabbed her hands and helped pull her out of the hole, though I'm not entirely sure she needed my help at all. Once we were both out in the forest, Lita held a hand up when she saw me about to speak. "No questions. Not until we're out of here. Don't talk. Just follow and do as I say. That's how you're going to make it to see sunrise," she said in a voice that left no room for argument. I just nodded in response to let her know I understood. She nodded back, and then we were off. The forest was still as strangely quiet as it had been when we were captured, and I wondered if it was even the same night anymore. I had no idea how many days had passed since we were taken down into the cave network. We could have been down in that cave system for days for all I knew. We just walked in silence as the moon moved across the sky. I didn't ask her where we were going. All I knew what to do at that point was to follow Lita and hope that she had a plan. Lita seemed to tense some as we walked, but she said nothing beyond making a circular upward motion with her hand that I took to mean as, "Be on your guard."
"You're quite the clever little girl. Such a shame that you chose the wrong side of this war."
A deep rumbling voice spoke that seemed to echo around us. Lita let out a soft growl in response.
"Yeah? If you're so upset about it, then why don't you come and handle me yourself? Unless you're too scared to face me directly. You seem pretty chicken shit with the way you have all your lackeys do all the fighting for you," she barked back, which earned cold laughter from the voice which I assumed to belong to that coyote, since it was the only one of the creatures I had heard actually speak up to that point.
Then, a dark shape seemed to emerge from a nearby oak tree that quickly shifted and turned the form of that coyote I was beginning to grow familiar with seeing.
It was grinning at us with its head cocked to the side ever so slightly as if it was amused.
As you wish,
he said before he rushed at us with alarming speed. Lita was backhanded hard enough that she went flying through a number of trees, which crashed to the ground as Lita skidded to a stop on all fours roughly 30 feet away. The deep gouges in her forearms she had gotten from the coyote's claws were already healing as she charged at the coyote. The coyote let out a roar that was mixed with laughter as Lita charged at it as if it was relishing the challenge that had been presented to it. The ensuing fight was one I only caught glimpses of as I attempted to distance myself from the two. I saw glimpses of Lita savagely tearing into the coyote and drawing inky black blood from the thing with every hit. She was superhumanly strong with the way she was able to send the coyote flying. It had grown to be at least twice her size by that point, with a far more muscular figure than its previously gaunt form. The fight between the two seemed as if it would never end as they destroyed the forest around them. The time the two dealt injuries to the other would heal almost as fast as they were given. Trees fell all around the two, and slowly their battle zone had changed more into a clearing filled with jagged stumps and fallen trees. Despite Lita's strength, she still seemed out of her league against the coyote. As fast as she was able to heal, the coyote still dealt more damage than Lita, and seemed to land attacks on her far more often than she did to it. And yet, she never seemed to tire or give up. She just looked at the coyote with this deep-seated rage as he stubbornly continued to battle it. I stayed hidden behind a large rock on a small cliff near their battlefield. I should have ran, but I couldn't as I watched in horror, and yet almost wonder as the two superhuman entities clashed. I just silently hoped their fight would not come near to me, as I knew I would only get in the way or get hurt in this battle between two things that were far beyond the strength of a normal human like me. I could already see Lita was facing a challenge against the coyote, with it only having one arm, and I wondered just how dangerous this thing would be without that handicap. Then I quickly pushed that thought away as I felt panic overtaking me at that idea. Whatever the hell this thing was, it was a monster of overwhelming strength that I could still barely fathom the existence of. Finally, the coyote got the upper hand, if you could even really call the hulking, patching, furry thing a coyote anymore. It managed to pin Lita to the ground with its massive clawed hand, holding her down by her throat and upper chest. Lita choked and gagged as she clawed and kicked at the coyote's arm, and it just laughed at her, struggling even with her arms tearing chunks from its arm. I felt panic build up in my chest at the sight. I felt as if I had to do something to help Lita, but I had no idea what I could do. If Lita wasn't able to stop that thing, there was no way I stood a chance. But I decided that I couldn't just leave Lita to just perish at the hands of this thing. I had already lost Hank. I couldn't just stand by and lose her too. I picked up the heavy rock from the ground nearby and attempted to stealthily approach the coyote while its attention was focused on Lita.
You make such delicious prey, little girl. Such a shame that you didn't last longer. It has been so long since I've been provided such a challenge. My compliments. Even your mother wasn't quite as strong as you. But alas, you'll suffer the same fate as she did.
The coyote hummed with glee while Lita glared up at it with seething hatred in her expression.
I'll kill you,
she snarled back in a choking, gasping voice as she moved viciously, attempting to struggle loose from the grip of this thing.
Ah, still so spirited. I'm sure that fire in you will only make you even more delicious.
The coyote chuckled, simply seeming amused by Lita's fury. The coyote opened its jaws wide as its face split into four even pieces,
and opened like horrific flower petals to reveal a large black maw lined with white needle-sharp teeth, and out from its throat flickered a deep red tongue reminiscent of a massive octopus tentacle, lined with suckers that had silver spikes in the center. I rushed forwards to hurl the rock right at its head of the creature and hopefully distract it long enough to get Leda free. The thing closed in as if aiming to bite in Leda with its monstrous mouth. I felt a sinking in my chest. I was too late. Even with Leda's astounding healing abilities, there was no way she could survive a head being bitten off. But then the thing's chest exploded in black gore as a loud bang sounded through the forest. Its body was soon torn apart by more explosions as more loud bangs filled the forest. Leda bolted to her feet as the creature's body started to dissolve into that black liquid that I had seen the other things dissolve into. Its head flopped to the ground and changed back to the more coyote-like shape. Somehow, it spoke, even with its head now being the only solid piece of it left.
"This isn't over,"
it hissed out.
"You haven't seen the last of me. We will have our victory,"
it gasped. Then its head exploded in another burst of gore, and all that was left of the beast was puddles of black goo that quickly dried and floated up into the air in little black flakes as the sky started to change with the first shades of dawn. I felt the rock drop from my hands as a familiar voice spoke on the edge of the tree line.
"You sure made quite a mess out here, huh?"
I turned and couldn't believe my eyes. There Briggs stood with a shotgun in hand and a proud grin presented on his face. Leda gave Briggs a withering look in response.
"Took you long enough, Grandpa. Those damn reinforcements you promised were almost too late. We lost some good people while your jackass sat around here with your thumbs up your asses," she scolded the old man.
I felt my mind begin to swim as I tried to process all the events that had transpired over the course of this terrifying affair. As I tried to take in the scene in front of me of all the heated back and forth between Leda and Briggs, all their voices sounded like to me were faraway echoes. Blackness started to form at the edges of my vision, and I felt a little unconscious. When I woke up, I was in the hospital in the nearest city to the state park. I was told I had been transported to the hospital from a clinic in a nearby town to the state park. According to the hospital staff, I had been brought in with deep gashes, dehydrated, and emaciated. I had apparently woken up and spoken delirious of monstrous animals attacking, so it was assumed I had been attacked by either a bear or a wildcat, based off my injuries, and had become lost in the forest for days before eventually being discovered by two hikers. At first, I attempted to argue and recount what really happened, but I was quickly figured out that the hospital staff just assumed I was still delirious. They weren't going to believe me. I did discover that it had been a week and a half since the last night those things first attacked. After I was discharged from the hospital, I immediately quit my job at the state park. My supervisors didn't ask any questions. I saw that a missing person report had been filled for Hank, but no law enforcement ever questioned me about what happened at the park. In fact, there was never any reports at all of what happened in the park that night. And after that night, the strange animal sightings in the park just fizzled off soon after. I thought about going to the police and telling them my story about what had happened, but I knew that they would just ignore what I said. After all, who would believe such a strange story? I hadn't believed Abigail's at first. Surely, no one would believe me either. Since then, I moved across the country to a large city and an arid climate full of flatlands and desert. I want to be far away from any forest. I know that the media and law enforcement won't believe my story, but I recently heard about this subreddit from my girlfriend. She's the only one that I've told this story to since then.
She's the only one who believes me. She encourages that I post this here. I think she hopes that it will be therapeutic for me. But I decided to post this story because I want to warn anyone who will listen. Watch out for the forests. There are things out in those deep woods far beyond human comprehension. Whatever I saw in that forest, I have no doubt there's more out there. I remember what it said to Lita. It mentioned a war. It said it would come back. The people that go missing out in the forests, the strange things that happen. Maybe there really isn't a logical explanation for all of it. So if you start to see animals that go wrong with those white eyes in the forest, get out while you still have the chance, or they might just come for you next. I hope that my tale will serve as a warning to all of you that choose to listen to it. I haven't seen Lita or Briggs since that night, and I can only hope that they're doing well wherever they are. While I still wonder what those things are that attacked that night, I'm too scared to really go looking for answers I want. As far as I'm concerned, I hope I never have to step foot into another forest again, but another part of me has started to become less scared over the years. I felt angry for all the horrors those things brought on. They killed innocent and good people like those college kids and Hank. I want to know what they are, and I want to stop them. There's a state park a few hundred miles away from me, and I've seen increasing reports of animal attacks and missing persons there lately. Maybe I should go there and warn them before things go too far. I sat on the story I wrote for a week. I wasn't sure to post it or not after giving it more thought. Yesterday, I got a visit from someone I thought I would never see again. I heard a knock on my apartment door, and before me stood Lita. She didn't look like she had aged a day since the last time I saw her. She looked like how she did when I first met her. Tanned caramel skin, piercing hazel green eyes. A petite figure, 5 foot nothing, and jet black hair. The only difference was that her hair had grown down to her waist and was tied back in a messy braid. She looked up at me with an intense expression of hers before offering me an amused smile. "We need to talk," she said simply. Of course I let her in. She just walked into my apartment like she owned the place and took a seat on my couch. "Nice place you've got. A little plain. But you were always kind of a basic guy, huh?" she said casually as she surveyed my apartment while I stared at her in disbelief. Then she motioned for me to take a seat in the armchair across from her. In dumbfounded silence, I just did what she said. She's surprisingly good at getting others to follow her commands. That small figure just seemed to command authority when she wanted it to. "Well, I did promise you I'd explain everything, and I'm finally here to uphold that promise. After I explain, I've got a favor to ask," she said. I just stared at her in response for a long moment before finally just sputtering and stuttering. "Okay." Lita laughed. "Always so good with your words, huh, Jack?" she teased. "That's my name, by the way." Lita continued on to first tell me that her name wasn't actually Lita. Navia is her name. So Lita, now Navia, continued on to explain what had happened in the forest that night, and just who she really was. According to Navia, she comes from a long line of monster hunters. What we encountered in the forest 5 years ago was a parasitic species that can take over organic creatures that are controlled by one hive mind, which, in this case, had taken the form of that coyote. They come from another world and showed up on Earth about 200 years ago. They're a species that tries to colonize worlds and consume whatever they can get in contact with, but Navia's group has been able to keep them at bay. They've taken to calling the species Webbers,
since they trap their victims in that spider web-like substance, and the parasite looks somewhat like a spider when removed from its host. And yes, Navi and I agreed the name wasn't the best, but it's what stuck. The Webber is a much larger creature that separates itself into smaller creatures, which will then take over a host. They believe there are multiple Webbers from whatever world it is that they come from, but they don't know how many. They also don't actually know how the Webbers got here. Thus far, there are about 5 Webbers who had attempted to invade Earth, and only one of them had made repeat attempts. There have been 15 invasion attempts in the past 200 years. Whether that means they killed the other Webbers when they stopped them, they don't know. They just know this one particular Webber they had taken the calling Ba, for Big Asshole Webber, is the one who keeps coming back. Navia says that her people need to start coming up with better names. The Webbers will take one primary host body on Earth, and then extend their control outwards into other creatures by trapping them and feeding them its black blood, so that its body becomes suitable for habitation. Then they will eventually turn into the warped creatures I saw 5 years ago. I angrily asked Navia why she didn't warn me or Hank about Abigail then, and she just sadly stated that she couldn't alert the Webber that she was onto its game. She thought maybe there was still time to save Abigail, since there have been cases where people in the process of becoming hosts have been able to be saved. She regretted what happened to Hank and that she couldn't save him. She explained that night was a train wreck, and that she was supposed to have reinforcements come much earlier. But due to circumstances, they hadn't been able to arrive on time. Navi explained how her mother had been killed by the same Webber that she fought that night. Then she proceeded to nonchalantly drop that she was able to fight Ba so efficiently because she wasn't human. No, in fact, she's half demon. She had to use a spell that suppressed her demonic abilities while she worked at the state park, so Ba wouldn't detect her, and the effects of the spell had finally worn off when we were trapped in the cave system. She only laughed at my dumbstruck expression, shrugged, and said that her mom had a weird and kind of shitty taste since her dad had never really been around anyways. She had been raised mostly by her grandpa, who was in fact Briggs. Surprise, surprise. That's not his real name either. So the man, who was really named Brisjan, left weeks earlier to get enough reinforcements to come back and deal with Ba, when the signs had started showing up with another invasion was coming. But as you already know, he didn't get back until everything had already gone to shit. If I ever see him again, he and I are going to have some things to talk about. Navi explained to me that not only are there Webbers, demons, and magic, apparently, there are a good many of things that are real, like vampires, werewolves, angels, fae, and dragons, among many other things. I really need to ask her about that later. She sped over the whole point as she explained that her organization were people who kept the peace and stopped the bad guys who threatened the balance, as she calls it. Can't say their name, unfortunately. Top secret and all that. She tells me that her group in the organization is looking for new members. They need reinforcements, since it's looking that the state park I had noticed may be the sign of a new invasion. Well, I'll cut to the chase. I said yes. I've got an opportunity to do something against those bastards and do some good. So, I'm going to take it. Navi is standing behind me now while I write this. She's very amused by how I described her. She also told me to stop treating her like a kid since she's over 100 years old. That leaves me with a lot more questions I need to ask her later. But I've got a lot I'm still trying to process. So, one step at a time there. Agreeing to join this organization means that I'm leaving everything behind now. I don't like the idea of leaving my girlfriend behind,
but I know she wouldn't understand all of this or why I need the help Navia and her people. After I finish writing this, I'll be packing my things and making what preparations I need before I set out with Navia. My parting words to all of you are to be vigilant. There are many strange things in this world that we could write off as nothing but fantasy. But what many of us forget is that there are many things we don't know about this world. Better to keep a watchful eye than to be caught off guard if you do encounter something hidden from the majority of the world. And with that, I thank you all for reading and listening to this story, and I hope that you heed its warning. What happens in that park to the people like Hank and Abigail was a tragedy. Hopefully I could do something to now save people like them. Best regards and signing off. Jack. Perhaps. I'll be making another report here one day, to warn you all, of more of those strange things that exist in this world so often unseen by the masses.